When Dr. Malcolm Kendrick's The Great Cholesterol Con was published in 2007, it sent shockwaves through the medical community. This meticulously researched work challenged what many considered settled science, the idea that cholesterol causes heart disease. The book has since become a cornerstone text for skeptics of mainstream heart disease prevention, cited by everyone from Joe Rogan to Tim Ferriss. Despite fierce opposition from pharmaceutical interests, Kendrick's arguments have gained traction among independent researchers and clinicians. His work represents one of the most comprehensive challenges to what he calls the greatest scam in the history of medicine, a multi-billion dollar industry built on flawed science that may be harming more people than it helps. As you read this summary, prepare to have everything you thought you knew about heart disease turned upside down. Heart disease is a misnomer. The deadliest form isn't a disease of the heart itself, but of the arteries supplying blood to it. This condition, atherosclerosis, involves athero, fatty buildup in artery walls, and sclerosis, hardening. These atheromatous plaques evolve from initial fatty streaks found in most 10-year-olds to potentially calcified structures. The most dangerous aren't the hard calcified plaques, but unstable intermediate ones, cyst-like structures with thin capsules surrounding semi-liquid centers. When these rupture, they trigger powerful blood clotting responses that can completely block blood supply to vital organs. When this happens in coronary arteries, heart muscle downstream becomes oxygen-starved and may infarct, die, causing a myocardial infarction or heart attack. About 50% of heart attacks prove fatal, with most deaths occurring in the first hour. Modern interventions include clot-busting drugs, angioplasty, where catheters insert stents to keep arteries open, and coronary artery bypass grafts. Yet these technologies only improve survival rates by perhaps 2-3%, since half of victims die before reaching hospital and another 40% would survive regardless of treatment. While these basics are uncontroversial, three puzzling facts complicate our understanding. Japanese and American men have similar atherosclerosis levels but vastly different heart attack rates. Many heart attacks involve clots formed days or weeks earlier, and Russian coal miners die young from heart attacks they never felt. Clearly, the mechanical clogged pipe model of heart disease is far too simplistic. The common analogy comparing arterial plaque to sewer pipes clogged with grease is fundamentally flawed. If heart muscle truly died during infarction like frostbitten tissue, it would blacken and fall off, leaving a fatal hole in your heart. Instead, affected heart muscle converts to scar tissue that requires less oxygen. Some heart muscle can even hibernate for weeks or months, waiting for blood supply to return. The heart may also grow new collateral circulation to bypass blockages. Cholesterol gets terrible press, but it's absolutely essential for life. Far from being a toxic substance to avoid, cholesterol is a vital building block that our bodies require in large quantities. It's crucial for brain synapses, vitamin D synthesis, cell membrane integrity, sex hormone production, and bioformation. Our bodies need so much cholesterol that the liver must produce 4 to 5 times more than we typically consume through diet. Despite how intertwined fats and cholesterol are in health discussions, there's virtually no connection between them. Foods containing cholesterol tend to contain saturated fat simply because both come from animal sources. That's the extent of their relationship. Even Ansel Keys, the man who campaigned against saturated fat, admitted there's no connection whatsoever between cholesterol in food and cholesterol in blood. The liver cannot convert fat into cholesterol. The building blocks for cholesterol synthesis include substances containing phosphorus, sulfur, and nitrogen, with complex ring structures absent in fats. When our liver converts excess carbohydrates to fat, it specifically makes saturated fat, suggesting these fats aren't actually unhealthy despite conventional wisdom. Fats don't travel through the body individually or randomly. They're primarily grouped as three fat molecules attached to a glycerol backbone, forming structures called triglycerides. The glycerol component is actually half of a glucose molecule. And when triglycerides break down, glycerol travels to the liver to form glucose while the fats are burned by muscles. The concept of having a cholesterol level in your bloodstream is fundamentally flawed. Since cholesterol doesn't dissolve in water or blood, it must be transported around the body inside carrier molecules called lipoproteins. These same carriers also transport fats, which similarly can't dissolve in blood. Cholesterol exists in only one form. There's no such thing as good or bad cholesterol. These terms actually refer to different lipoproteins that transport cholesterol. The confusing terminology includes chylomicrons, manufactured in the gut, VLDLs, often called triglycerides, IDLs, intermediate density lipoproteins, LDLs, misleadingly called bad cholesterol, and HDLs, misleadingly called good cholesterol. The cholesterol hypothesis has undergone constant adaptation to survive contradictory evidence. It began simply, eating too much cholesterol raises blood cholesterol, which deposits on artery walls. When research showed dietary cholesterol doesn't raise blood cholesterol, the hypothesis shifted to blame saturated fat. When it became clear we don't have cholesterol levels but lipoprotein levels, certain lipoproteins were simply renamed cholesterol. The hypothesis keeps morphing. First it was saturated fat, then the ratio of polyunsaturated to saturated fat, then a lack of monounsaturated fats. Like a monster from a 1950s horror movie, every time you think it's dead, it just gets stronger. What's considered high cholesterol has been falling relentlessly, from 7.0 millimoles per liter to 5.0 millimoles today. Some experts believe the true healthy level is 2.5 millimoles, effectively meaning everyone should be medicated. As Law and Wald of Polypill fame argue, everyone in the UK should take statins for life, with some doctors even suggesting statins in the drinking water. The diet heart hypothesis began in mid-19th century Berlin with Rudolf von Virchow, who discovered cholesterol in arterial plaques and assumed it came from blood. 50 years later, Russian researcher Nikolai Anichkov fed rabbits high cholesterol diets, causing arterial thickening, a fundamentally flawed model since rabbits are herbivores. Despite early work by Virchow and Anichkov, the diet heart hypothesis didn't gain dominance until after World War II. A pivotal moment came in 1954 at a WHO meeting where Ansel Keys boldly presented his dietary hypothesis, only to be challenged by Sir George Pickering to provide a single piece of evidence. Stung by this encounter, Keyes launched his famous seven-country study, which showed a correlation between saturated fat consumption, cholesterol levels, and heart disease. Critics note Keyes selectively chose countries that supported his hypothesis while ignoring contradictory data from others. The diet-heart hypothesis has been thoroughly debunked by experts like Professor Michael Oliver and Dr. George Mann. Mann, who studied the Maasai villagers of Kenya who consumed extremely high levels of saturated fat yet had virtually zero heart disease, famously called the diet-heart hypothesis the greatest scam in the history of medicine. The most damning evidence comes from UK rationing during and after World War II, where 50 million people were placed on a low saturated fat diet for 14 years with restricted sausages, eggs, cheese, bacon, and milk. Despite this nationwide experiment, heart disease rates nearly tripled during this period, completely contradicting the diet-heart hypothesis. The French consume more saturated fat than any other European nation, yet have one quarter the heart disease rate of the UK. Similarly, Switzerland has the second highest saturated fat consumption and nearly as low heart disease rates. Claims that garlic, red wine, and lightly cooked vegetables protect the French are unsupported by evidence. These are merely ad hoc hypotheses invented to protect the diet-heart hypothesis from contradictory evidence. Israel has one of the highest polyunsaturated to saturated fat ratios in the world, with omega-6 consumption 8% higher than in the USA and 10 to 12% higher than most European countries. Yet, paradoxically, Israelis have high rates of cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes, and obesity. After World War II, saturated fat consumption in Switzerland increased by 20%, while heart disease rates fell. Defenders of the diet heart hypothesis claimed Swiss cows produce cheese high in omega-3 fatty acids, with elaborate explanations about alpine grass-fed cows versus silage-fed cows. This demonstrates researchers' endless ability to invent reasons why paradoxes aren't really paradoxes at all. In 1988, the U.S. Surgeon General's office began a project to compile all evidence linking saturated fat to heart disease. 11 years later, they abandoned the project, claiming they did not anticipate fully the magnitude of additional expertise and staff resources needed. Bill Harlan of the Oversight Committee admitted, "The report was initiated with a preconceived opinion of the conclusions, but the science behind those opinions was clearly not holding up." Major studies continue to contradict the diet-heart hypothesis. The Malmö study of 28,098 middle-aged Swedes, followed for 6.6 years, found no relationship between saturated fat intake and cardiovascular disease in men. Among women, cardiovascular mortality actually showed a downward trend with increasing saturated fat intake. The Women's Health Initiative, with 48,835 women over 8.1 years, found that reducing fat intake from 37% to 29% of calories and saturated fat from 12.4% to 9.5% produced no significant differences in CHD, stroke incidence, mortality rates, or cancer rates. Moving beyond diet, let's examine whether cholesterol itself causes heart disease. Strokes and heart disease are both cardiovascular conditions caused by atherosclerotic plaques, yet raised cholesterol isn't a risk factor for stroke. As Japan increased fat consumption between 1958-1999 from 5% to 20% of calories, cholesterol levels rose from 3.9 to 4.9 millimoles per liter. Remarkably, during this period, stroke mortality in Japanese men aged 60 to 69 fell dramatically from 1,334 to 226 per 100,000 per year, a nearly six-fold reduction. Heart disease rates also declined despite rising cholesterol levels. Looking at total mortality reveals even more surprising patterns. Data from the 1992 Conference on Low Blood Cholesterol and Mortality, studying 523,737 men and 124,814 women, showed that for women, the healthiest cholesterol level was around 5.5 millimoles, with mortality increasing at both higher and lower levels. For men, the curve was U-shaped, with the highest mortality at the lowest cholesterol levels. The Framingham study found that falling cholesterol levels over 14 years predicted increased mortality in the following 18 years, an 11% overall and 14% cardiovascular death rate increase per 1 milligram per deciliter drop in cholesterol. Multiple large studies consistently show that after age 50, low cholesterol is significantly associated with greater mortality, with the risk increasing with age. Women present a fundamental challenge to the cholesterol hypothesis. They have higher average cholesterol levels than men, yet suffer far less heart disease, sometimes 300% less. The 1992 Conference on Low Blood Cholesterol found that among 124,818 women studied, there was essentially flat relation of total cholesterol to total cardiovascular and total cancer mortality. For decades, researchers attributed this to protection from female sex hormones, but this hypothesis collapsed under scrutiny. A 1963 study comparing women with and without ovaries showed identical heart disease rates. Later research confirmed the normal menopause was not associated with any increase in risk of coronary heart disease. HDL, the so-called good cholesterol, is widely accepted as protective against heart disease, yet the evidence supporting this claim is remarkably thin. The HERS trial actually showed that as HDL levels rose, so did heart disease risk, a 3% increase for every 0.14 millimoles per liter rise in HDL. Even more damning, a community in Limone Salgarda, Italy, with extremely low HDL levels demonstrated extraordinary resistance to heart attacks. Comparing British women with French men reveals another fatal contradiction. French men have worse conventional risk factors. They consume more saturated fat, 15.5% versus 13.6%, have higher rates of hypertension, 11% versus 7%, slightly higher cholesterol levels, 5.7 millimoles versus 5.6 millimoles, and smoke more, 31% versus 25%. Yet historically, British women have had higher heart disease rates. Australian Aboriginal men have one of the world's highest heart disease rates, 1,100 per 100,000 per year, four times the UK rate and 10 times France's. Yet their average cholesterol is just 4.9 millimoles, compared to the UK's 6.1 millimoles. The Monica study data shows complete disassociation between cholesterol levels and heart disease across populations. Swiss men have the highest cholesterol, but nearly the lowest heart disease rate, while Russians have the second lowest cholesterol, but highest heart disease in Europe. Statins lower LDL levels and supposedly protect against heart disease, the ultimate proof of the cholesterol hypothesis. Yet even when LDL is reduced to 2 millimoles per liter, heart disease risk only drops by about 30% maximum, meaning the supposed causal factor can be virtually eliminated while the disease persists. The Framingham risk calculator creates an illusion of precision in heart disease prediction, using factors like sex, age, cholesterol, smoking status, HDL, and blood pressure. Yet its accuracy varies wildly across populations. It overestimates risk by 400% in French men and underestimates risk by up to 3,000% in young Aboriginal women. In the UK, 84% of heart disease occurred in men classified as low risk, while 75% of high-risk men remained disease-free after 10 years. Despite glowing endorsements from prestigious sources claiming statins could save thousands of lives, critical analysis reveals troubling inconsistencies. The uncomfortable truth: statins do not save lives in women, period. They may change what appears on a death certificate, but won't change the date. Yet doctors continue prescribing these powerful drugs to millions of women, with potential dangers including severe birth defects when taken during pregnancy. For men, statin benefits depend entirely on pre-existing heart conditions. Men with diagnosed heart disease show reduced cardiovascular events and mortality when taking statins. However, for men without heart disease, over 90% of the male population, statins provide zero mortality benefit despite reducing cardiovascular events. The University of British Columbia's Cochrane collaboration concluded that statins have not been shown to provide an overall health benefit in primary prevention trials. Despite pharmaceutical industry claims of safety, statins present concerning health risks. Cognitive impairments represent one of the most troubling effects. Dr. Dwayne Graveline, a physician and former NASA astronaut, experienced severe episodes of memory loss and transient global amnesia after taking statins. The brain contains 25% of the body's cholesterol, and research revealed cholesterol as the magic ingredient enabling synapse formation between neurons. Other significant risks include polyneuropathy. Patients taking statins for 2+ years showed a 26.4-fold increased risk. Muscle damage. Some experts estimate 15 to 20% of patients experience pain or weakness. And potential cancer risk. All major lipid-lowering drugs cause cancer in rodents at exposure levels similar to human dosing. Heart failure represents another serious concern. Statins block not just cholesterol synthesis, but also coenzyme Q10 production, a substance critical for cellular energy production, especially in heart muscle. Some cardiologists believe the current rise in heart failure across the Western world directly results from statin use. While statins do reduce mortality in men with existing heart disease, the benefits are modest. The 4S trial showed a 3.3% absolute risk reduction over 5 years, 0.66% annually, while WASCOPS showed just 0.9% reduction over 5 years, 0.18% annually. Claims of saving lives are misleading. Statins merely delay death, increasing average lifespan by approximately 2 months over 30 years of use and only for men with pre-existing heart disease. After dismissing the cholesterol hypothesis, what actually causes heart disease? The primary culprit appears to be stress, specifically dysfunction in the hypothalamus-pituitary-adrenal axis, HPA axis, that governs our stress response. This system involves hormones like adrenaline, cortisol, growth hormone, and glucagon on the stress side, with insulin dominating the relaxation side. The HPA axis works with the autonomic nervous system, which has sympathetic, fight or flight, and parasympathetic, digestive, relaxation divisions. The sympathetic system speeds heart rate, releases glucose, and triggers clotting factors, creating a catabolic state ready to burn energy. The parasympathetic system does the opposite, slowing heart rate and promoting digestion. A dysfunctional HPA axis can result from various causes, including tumors. Cushing's disease, caused by a pituitary tumor secreting excess ACTH, increases cortisol levels dramatically, triggering multiple metabolic effects: glucose release from the liver, breakdown of fat stores, protein breakdown in muscles, and insulin resistance. This leads to high blood sugar, diabetes, muscle loss, and redistribution of fat from limbs to abdomen. People with Cushing's disease also develop raised VLDL, LDL, low HDL, high blood pressure, and elevated clotting factors, all increasing heart attack risk. Similarly, long-term steroid users develop the same metabolic abnormalities and dramatically increased heart disease risk. Depression significantly increases heart disease risk through similar HPA axis abnormalities. Studies show depressed individuals develop visceral fat accumulation, demonstrating that visceral fat isn't simply genetic but results from HPA axis dysfunction and cortisol disturbances. Treating depression often reverses these metabolic abnormalities. The final link between HPA axis dysfunction and heart disease involves the response to injury hypothesis. Plaques begin as small areas of endothelial damage which normally heal through thrombus formation and endothelial regrowth. Factors that accelerate plaque growth include those that damage the endothelium or cause more dangerous blood clots to form, high blood sugar, high insulin, acute mental stress, smoking, cocaine, cortisol, and high adrenaline. The stress hypothesis explains the enormous variations in heart disease rates worldwide. The key stressor affecting entire populations appears to be social dislocation, the disruption of community bonds and social networks through forced migration, cultural destruction, or massive societal change. Finland had the world's highest heart disease rate in the 1960s-70s, following what was proportionally the greatest forced relocation in European history. After World War II, Russia claimed a large part of Finland called Karelia, forcing 400,000 Finns to relocate. The North Karelia region, where most displaced people settled, subsequently had Finland's highest heart disease rates. Scotland, particularly Glasgow, had the world's highest heart disease rates in the 1970s-80s following massive social engineering. In 1946, planners decided to relocate 550,000 Glaswegians from tenements to new towns and high-rise flats. While the tenements were physically poor, they fostered strong community bonds. The replacement housing destroyed these community connections, leading to social exclusion and despair. Contrastly, Roseto, Pennsylvania, a community of Italian immigrants primarily from Sicily, demonstrated remarkably low heart disease rates despite migration to a new country. A 50-year study found Rosettans maintained lower myocardial infarction mortality rates than neighboring towns for 30 years. But these protective effects disappeared as the community became more Americanized with the erosion of traditionally cohesive family and community relationships. The Japanese have low heart disease rates, but lose this protection when migrating to other countries, not because of dietary changes, but because of cultural disruption. Japanese Americans who maintain traditional Japanese culture and lifestyle have heart disease rates as low as those in Japan, while those who adopt Western culture show 3 to 5 times higher rates. Those lower in social hierarchies face greater heart disease risk across species. Studies of macaque monkeys show submissive animals develop more extensive coronary artery disease than dominant ones. The Whitehall study demonstrates civil servants in lower-ranking positions suffer more heart disease than higher-ranked colleagues, primarily due to lack of job control. Women typically develop heart disease about 10 years later than men for 3 interconnected reasons. Women are generally less hostile or aggressive, better at developing social support networks, and respond physiologically differently to stressors. Research confirms men report significantly less social support than women across all social classes. Men also have more violent HPA axis reactions to stress, producing nearly twice as much ACTH when stressed. Kendrick presents comprehensive, evidence-based strategies to prevent heart disease that focus on lifestyle and psychological well-being rather than medication. 1. Don't smoke. Smoking not only damages blood vessels directly, but dramatically activates the HPA axis stress response system, increasing blood clotting factors and inflammatory markers. Even occasional smoking can trigger these harmful physiological changes that persist for hours after exposure. The good news is that these effects begin reversing within days of quitting. 2. Exercise regularly through enjoyable activities. While exercise is crucial for heart health, forced or unpleasant exercise routines can actually create additional stress. The key is finding physical activities you genuinely enjoy, whether it's dancing, gardening, walking with friends, or playing sports. The social and pleasure aspects of exercise multiply its protective effects. 3. Drink alcohol moderately and socially. Research shows that moderate alcohol consumption, 1 to 2 drinks daily, in social settings provides cardiovascular protection. This benefit appears linked more to the social context than the alcohol itself. The key is moderation. Excessive drinking negates any potential benefits and increases heart risks. 4. Avoid toxic work environments. Chronic workplace stress, especially from controlling or bullying supervisors, creates persistent physiological strain that damages cardiovascular health over time. Studies show that people who stay in jobs they hate have significantly higher rates of heart attacks. When possible, prioritize work environments that feel supportive and meaningful. 5. Cultivate strong social connections. Regular social interaction and maintaining close relationships provide powerful protection against heart disease. Join community groups, maintain friendships, participate in team activities, and prioritize family connections. Research shows that social isolation is as damaging as smoking for heart health. 6. Find daily sources of joy and meaning. Positive emotions help regulate the HPA axis and reduce inflammation. Simple daily pleasures like music, nature, creativity, or time with loved ones create physiological benefits. Having a sense of purpose and meaning in life correlates with better cardiovascular outcomes. The medical establishment has long maintained an artificial divide between mind and body, often dismissing psychological factors as soft science despite mounting evidence of their impact. Modern research techniques now allow us to measure how mental states directly affect inflammation, blood clotting, and arterial health. The cholesterol hypothesis has dominated heart disease prevention for decades, leading to widespread statin prescriptions while overlooking crucial psychological and social factors. While managing cholesterol through medication may help some high-risk patients, population-level heart health requires addressing deeper causes, chronic stress, social disconnection, and the erosion of community support systems. By fixating on cholesterol numbers, we've created a medicated society that ignores the fundamental drivers of cardiovascular disease. The solution lies not in more medications, but in rebuilding social connections, reducing chronic stress, and creating environments that support psychological well-being. These factors have measurable biological effects that directly impact heart health through multiple pathways, including inflammation, blood pressure regulation, and clotting factors.